funding for the temporary library. The chief, is the chief here? And the chief, mayor, if you wanted to hear from the chief as well, the chief approached me today and asked, you know, if we're not using that location, does that location make sense in, you know, for more than just the temporary, I don't know how, you know, the temporary library, but maybe other uses could all be placed up along Ocean Avenue, in which case the temporary firehouse would have to, I would not recommend that it come into the lot this direction. You would have to put a curb cut and take it onto Ocean Avenue, but you wouldn't have to run any of your laterals. The laterals are already in place. You would probably save some money in doing so, but you'd have to change the size of the structure you were using. You were using a 60 by 80. The chief spoke to the fire department, and the fire trucks are only about 30 feet deep, so you'd have to go with a shorter trailer in order to not stop any parking in the front of the lot. And then we would have to, it would still require a temporary CAFRA, we could apply for an emergency CAFRA, but we would have to rebuild any parking we use, we'd have to rebuild behind the eastern curb line in order to build the parking. So it's an option. Your soils are going to be better in the front of the lot. It's not going to be as sandy. So you would be able to do so. It would probably be less money to do so. But it's just something that the chief brought up today, and Joe wanted to offer that to you guys as an option before we proceed, because we really haven't proceeded until everything's nailed down.
We're probably there for parking spaces towards on the ocean side. That's pretty easy to do. Like, you're just going to gravel.
We would gravel it. I mean, we have all of this. No matter if we put it here or here, it's going to require a temporary capital.
Sure.
But the difference is, putting the buildings here, you're getting a temporary CAFRA also to replenish the parking, and then you would leave that parking in the back. So any parking you lose, you'd have to make up. These right here, where there's parking stalls, you would turn that into a drive aisle, and then from there, you would end up making up any of the parking in the front, and plus those back here. So it's just if the council wants to consider it. But we don't want to proceed with anything until we know exactly where the council
is. It seems reasonable to me. I mean, it's a little more obvious, unfortunately, it's right on Ocean Avenue, but it's got to save a lot of money, I would think, just having to run utilities all the way over there. So, I'm not opposed to it.
Are we allowed to comment on that now or no?
No, that's
allowed.
No, right. Okay. But it's coming fast.
Can I ask a question?
Well, this is your, it's just not time for remarks from the audience yet.
So we talked about there is no sewer. Would we add sewer or we wouldn't add sewer?
You wouldn't need sewer for the fire department. The fire department, they weren't going to have any restrooms in that regardless. The police, it would really be a decision on the amount of use of those restrooms. I know in Highlands, that police department, they have a contract where they pump out the tanks monthly, because it's temporary. So they pump the tanks out, they don't have to put in store, which is what keeps the price down.
It was a lot cheaper, Councilman, when we priced out the pumping services, pump out services, opposed to installing the line. And they would be the poly tanks under, you know, under the buildings, they wouldn't be seen. And they would just come hook up and do it that way.
They would, you know, those type of companies, we could look at it, or, you know, the chief could look at it and do a value judgment on whether or not, you know, based on the loading, how often you'd have to pump it out versus the price of putting in a lateral versus how long you think you're going to have the facilities there. But you're much, much closer to Ocean Avenue, so if you did decide to run a sanitary lateral, it would not be a far run versus running it to the back of the property.
Do we need to dig up any of the pave? No.
No, this is in the gravel.
It's all in the gravel.
It's just something the chief brought them, you know, asked me the question today, so Joe wanted to have you guys discuss it before we proceeded with it.
Before any final decisions are made on with regard to use of the property, because that area was set aside and is ready to go for the temporary library, they have a meeting scheduled for this week. And I would like to get the recommendations from the Library Advisory Committee with regard to their preferences for the temporary library location. so can it wait until?
Well, we could also locate it beside that also. I mean, if they did decide to leave the library there, we still have plenty of room.
Okay.
We could still put other facilities. It's really a matter of, do you want it in the front or do you want it in the back? So I don't want to proceed with anything until the council, you know, decides where they're going.
We just didn't know if you would want it on Ocean Avenue. That's really it. Financially, it's better, but.
I'm not sure how some of the business owners would feel about it, but I mean, overall, I'm sure it's going to save quite a bit of cash, though, having all the utilities at the back of the lot.
Especially since any lost parking could be recouped.
I think it's good.
You'd have to get a highway access permit for the curb cut on Ocean.
So we'll, how do we go, kind of, the library committee will have their meeting, we'll hear from, we'll work through council committee to get feedback from the advisory group, and then at what point, let's set a deadline that Jackie gets her decision from the governing body?
When's the next meeting?
Well, we're next year, October 7th. It's the next council meeting.
So why don't we just meet on October 7th?
At that point, we should be authorizing.
Jackie to go out to bid on the location.
Yeah, like, we should be authorizing bid specs at that point, too. So we'll have to get some work done at the committee level there.
Okay.
And any other questions council members have on the. So let's move on then to our council committee reports. First report is Beach Public Relations, chaired by Councilman Longley.
Okay, regarding the beach, we're waiting on the tally of the proceeds to get year-end totals, and hope to have that shortly. The chief is planning to have Don Kahn's name be considered for the January reorg. Most feedback is that Don did a good job jumping in there at the end of the year and getting us back on track. Don will be completing a full inventory, and Chief said when I met with him that we'll get pictures and complete inventory and make sure that we know what we have. We'll make sure it's stored for the winter. Chief's going to check on the equipment and make sure any of it needs to be replaced. He's going to make sure the motorized units will be sent out for tune-up and repair for winterization, so we have a fresh start in the new year. The lifeguard stands were removed, and the lockers will be removed from the beach area in October. In anticipation of reuse of the beach buildings on the end of the street here, they would like to get it power washed in the off season. It's pretty seedy in there and could use a good cleanup. Chief's going to make sure paperwork is stored and ready for next year. I'm trying to locate, there was a binder that talked about how we ran the beach and what it looked like and all the equipment. Haven't located that yet, but I'm going to meet with Reed. He says he might have a copy of it. Chief would also like to look for a better beach badge system to make sure that, you know, we're protecting ourselves. All the locks on the beach buildings will be changed so that we know that we're secure. And the chief is also looking into, for the lifeguards and junior lifeguards, this year we had a little situation where we didn't get their uniforms in time, so he's looking at setting something up so we'd be ready. And he's talked to Athletes Alley, which is in Shrewsbury, and they can accommodate that, so we'll talk about that more. We did receive a complaint this past week about the debris that's washed up on the beach. Most people believe it's from the Monmouth pumping that was going on. I did speak with the mayor from Monmouth Beach, and they have looked into it. Their plan is They're doing replenishment from the river. They intended 50,000 cubic yards of material will be taken out of the river, put on the beach. Only 20,000 of it was sand. The rest was organic matter. And so that's some of the stuff that was on the beach. And it's, our winds were prevailing and bringing it north, so we shared in some of that. It discolored the water a little bit. But it was tested for two things, granularity, to make sure the sand they're getting is what they expected, and also for safety of the material. And while it's not a favorable appearance, it has been deemed safe, and they will finish up that project. They're just about done. They're not going to get what they hoped on the beach, but they do have a serious issue down there. I talked to Public Works, and he's got an idea of how we can increase our recycling service. And we need a little bit more recycling material, about 2% more. Without taking it further, I think it's a great idea. There are grants that I researched today, and Mark had shared the concept with me that there's $600,000 available to help us with that, that we haven't participated in. Asbury Park, Avon, Howell, Manalapan, Ocean, Spring Lakes, and Wall, we're all getting a piece of that, and we'll go after our piece if we can find some recyclables. So that's a good idea. And on public relations, just a few things. I met with the Public Relations Committee on the 4th of September, and we outlined what we believe the mission should be. We haven't finalized our thoughts. We'll meet again this Thursday, and we'll develop a mission statement and goals. And we talked about a lot of concepts of what is public relations, how do we communicate what Seabright is all about to our borough and beyond. I'm working with Felicia on the Seabreeze to see if we can get another version out. So she's collecting material right now. We gave her a lot of information of what we'd like to see in the next Seabreeze, and we'll regroup on that as well. She's part of the Public Relations Committee. I attended a county community sustainability master plan work group last week. And basically what it is that the county is looking at a master plan, which isn't final, but they would share that with all the municipalities. And what they offer is resources, best practices, no financial help, but a lot of other towns are doing things that are great ideas, and they're going to be the collector, and they have a formal practice. So hopefully we can participate more in that and understand it better. Now we're on the list of, we've attended. I'm doing an IT review. I'm hoping to be afforded the opportunity to review all our IT infrastructure, what the costs are, and make sure we're utilizing what we have to the best of our ability, and minimizing the cost, make sure we're not duplicating any costs anywhere. And I did get to meet with T&M last week and went over all the projects so I could have a better understanding, and hope to be able to keep track of the activity and make sure that we're communicating what's going on to the town as well.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up, we have Building Department, which includes Code Enforcement, and we have also Court Public Works and Cultural Arts, Councilman Lexing.
Okay. With regard to, John already touched on this, with regard to Public Works, but the Public Works Department has submitted for a tonnage grant in the amount of $10,000, and since our recycling has increased by 2% from the previous year, so hopefully we'll be successful in getting that grant. They also, Public Works advised me that they've replaced an emergency auto dialer, which calls out any abnormal issues in the system due to being struck by lightning on September 6th. So that's in the works. I'm very proud to announce, and hopefully this will actually happen, with regard to code enforcement, that 1260 Ocean Avenue, which is the old fortune teller's house, should be cleaned up beginning tomorrow. That's what we're believing is going to happen. They're actually going to come in and clean up that yard, because it's clearly the biggest, I think it's the biggest eyesore in the town right now as you're driving by. It's absolutely ridiculous. So So hopefully that's going to end up happening tomorrow. Otherwise, we're going to have to take more further action and really get it done, because that condition cannot be allowed to maintain itself. And that's everything else is progress.
Thank you, Councilman. Next, we have finance, insurance, and grants, chaired by Councilman Keeler.
Yes, Mayor. On finance, as we discussed at our workshop, the budget presentation and review process will begin in approximately 3 weeks when the departments get their budget preparation package. And then, as we recall the schedule, that'll be, that gives them about 2 months to work on that. And working with Mr. Bascom, myself, and the Finance Committee, and the various members of the council for their own particular committees. And then we're working towards budget meetings that'll be in January. And then there's a wait until the financial statement comes in. And then the process moves to the Division of Local Government, because as Mike has mentioned on several occasions, we are still dependent on essential services assistance from the state. And that has to be a visit to Trenton and a step-by-step review of our budget by the state. And following the adoption of the state budget, then we can adopt our budget. We talked about an April-May date for the adoption, but as Mike mentioned again, last year, I believe we ran 2 months behind that. So that may happen again this year, depending on when the state adopts their budget. I know Seabright has some financial problems we're working on, or restrictions, I should put it, but the state has their own, which is quite severe. So we'll see on that. Just in addition to that, in reference to some of the question that was raised by Vinny, I'm working with the league to see if I can get a condensed copy of their presentations that they make to newly elected officials, etc., on how the budget process works and how taxation, etc., works at the various levels of the state. And we get that, then we can have that printed up, copies made, and we'll distribute that to members of the public, residents who might be interested in that. That would be right from the League of Municipalities. On grants, just talking with Jackie, Jackie's in the process of resubmitting the application to the DOT for resurfacing of Willow Atlantic Way up in North Beach. We submitted that last year and it was not accepted, so we're resubmitting it this year. And the details, the numbers of where it will remain the same. So we'll see how that goes. And that's the end of this month that the application has to be submitted by. And when do we usually get an answer on that?
An answer right after the first of the year, but so the council does want to resubmit that for the same streets. Then I'm just going to put the same application in. There won't be a charge for that.
And just if that's let's say it's approved in January, February, when would they start? When the first warm weather breaks, like April?
You mean repaving?
Yeah.
Well, we don't do anything on the repaving until we get the award. Then we would authorize Jackie to prepare the bid specs. So if we get it after the first of the year, summertime?
Okay, I was just trying to, the residents up there, just so they don't have to worry about their parking problems for another 6-8 months. And okay, that's all. On insurance, I went to the GIF meeting. They're very positive about the financial condition of the Monmouth GIF compared to several of the other GIFs in the state. They seem they're very confident they'll maintain a dividend policy. So that was encouraging and reassuring. I'll go over with you, Joe. We have a list of MSI training dates, and we'll pick out the ones that are closest to us and see which members of the department want to go.
Send some working.
Yeah, and they have one tomorrow that I was going to attend. This is claims and reporting workshop. We'll have a decision on that, see how that goes, but I'll report back on anything of interest. And I have one here for the chief. They have a very good program. It's a two-day refresher course for patrol officers and supervisors, and that's, let me just double-check. That'll be given on October the 30th, and that's local, so I'll pass that on to the chief. But they, I'm very encouraged. The new safety director of the JIF is very focused on reaching out. He came here to see Bright. He worked with the beach people. He worked with the new beach manager. And I'm pleased with him because he doesn't just talk in the background. He comes right up and walks into town and meets with people and hands out documents and sets up training programs, all focused on safety. So I think that's positive for us. Other than that, progress, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up is personnel, education, library, recreation. Councilwoman Gross, to give her report. Okay, well, progress for her. Councilman Keeler, did Councilman Mobiondo leave a public safety report with you?
No, he did not. I'm sorry. I should check with him.
Progress under letter E. And ending with Seabright Recovery Master Plan Beautification, chaired by Councilman Hill.
I've been part of a few beautification meetings over the last few weeks. One, we did have a beautification committee meeting, and we're planning our fall plantings and cleanup, so we agreed to continue with our recent practice of hiring a professional landscaper to handle basic cleanup and plantings for us. So we provided that information to Mark Philpott from Public Works, who works with the same landscaper, and he'll go ahead and coordinate that with the landscaping company. I also did a drive through around town with two of our new landscape architects who are working on the beautification master plan. It went well with all the sites, all the publicly owned sites that are part of the plan. And we'll be meeting the beautification committee and landscape architect will be this Thursday to go over the first round of what their findings are and the recommendations so that we can give them feedback to get to our ultimate goal of getting a completed beautification master plan that we can then present to the state and use to bid to get the larger projects completed through next year. Under the borough master plan and Seabright Recovery, still making progress on the beach pavilion, still in the permitting process with the state. We're also meeting intermittently with our architect to go over the plans as they exist, and we'll be meeting with the committees along the way also. Long before we come up with a final plan for the beach pavilion. But nonetheless, we're still making nice progress on that. And the master plan, our plan as a borough still remains the same since Sandy hit. You know, phase one will be the beach pavilion with all the facilities mentioned previously, numerous times, like lifeguard station and bathrooms and so forth. And then ultimately, we'd like to have, as a phase two, the balance of the borough facilities put consolidated on one site. We are going to hopefully have a professional master plan completed once, assuming the grant that Steve Nelson is applying for on our behalf gets approved, then we'll have the funds to actually hire a professional firm to put together a master plan for us. And aside from that, progress.
Thank you, Councilman. I'll try to keep my remarks brief. I wanted to, in Councilwoman Bill's absence, I would like to compliment the Recreation Committee for a successful summer program for Seabright's children, as well as their willingness to participate in our upcoming town hall meeting and to providing child care. As well, I just wanted to thank and acknowledge the Library Committee. I see a lot of you here, and for your perseverance. And your willingness to work with us on getting a solution that everybody is comfortable with. The seawall as a project as proposed has, we have the diagrams here. We will label them, put them on display here in the Borough Hall, and invite members of the community to come down and see for themselves exactly what is being proposed in the seawall project so that there aren't surprises later. as well. I see Mr. Eugene Freed in the audience, and I want to recognize him and his efforts in trying to get some publicity for our school tax situation with Shore Regional. He has very enterprisingly reached out for the Asbury Park Press and was able to get an article that really highlights Seabright's pain with, you know, as a result of the regional funding formula. That article did spur some other mayors to reach out, particularly Seaside Park and some of the other towns with that small coastal towns that suffer similar to us in our school tax situation. As we discussed at the workshop, a number of members of the community have come out and said that they want to get involved and to spend their time and energy trying to see what can be done. I know many things have been tried in the past, but that doesn't mean we don't stop trying. So towards that end, I know some people who have contacted me already. I know there might be some other people who are interested in serving, but we'd like to get a committee of residents together who are willing to give some time and work independent of the governing body, but with help, support, documents, etc., to see what recommendations they can come up with, and that we can work together on trying to get something for Seabright, or at least some movement, something besides headlines. I did have a meeting with the New Jersey Economic Development Authority with regard to our streetscape grant. Partial monies have been approved for Seabright, but not the entire grant amount that was asked for. So we're going to keep working with the EDA to try to find other funding sources to cover our whole streetscape grant application, but we look favorable to be able to move that forward next year. And then finally, we have two town hall meetings coming up. The first is going to be Saturday, September 20th at Holy Cross. That is an event that we're doing in partnership with New Jersey Future, and it's a screening of the documentary film Shored Up. Shored Up won a prize at the Sundance Film Festival. It won the Sustainability Award in 2014. It was made by a surfer named Ben Kalina, who is not a stranger to Seabright. He's somebody that spent a lot of time out in our water here. And his documentary focuses on coastal development and Mother Nature and when the two collide. That takes place Saturday at Holy Cross from 7 to 9 p.m. in their gymnasium. As well, child care will be provided. So the Seabright Recreation Committee has organized some activities for the children. So if anybody wants to come, they are able to bring their children to do so. And then we scheduled a second town hall meeting, and we'll send a postcard advertisement to the residents about this, but we've scheduled it for October the 9th. This town hall meeting, we've invited New Jersey Future to bring their sea level rise maps, the projections for the future sea level rise in Seabright. We invited them to come here, present those maps, discuss the science that they use to arrive at those maps, as well as to focus on flood control efforts in the borough in the past, and then to talk about in the future, now that we've seen some progress on our seawall and our bulkhead. So I think it's time to start talking about mitigation in the next phase. So we scheduled that for October the 9th. We'll be looking to do one more town hall meeting before the year's end. My hope is that the next town hall meeting will focus on our emergency response plan and to make sure that all residents are familiar with the procedures that Seabright will use in emergencies, taking lessons learned from Sandy and going forward. And I'll wrap that there. And open up the floor to a second remarks from the audience portion for our meeting. Again, for anybody who wishes to be heard on any issue, we invite you to come forward and please state your name and your address for the record.
That was great, Councilman. Good job. Your committee report. Charlie Rooney, 196 Ocean Avenue. Two comments I have. One on the cell tower. I don't know what the update is on that, but as far as the flagpole goes, I know we have the property at the end of River Street in the middle of town, on the river end, and I know there was talk at one time about putting a cell tower there, and supposedly, I think the people of Rumson might have been against it, but I don't think at that time we were talking about a flagpole. They might not be against that. That seems like a pretty good location. The other idea I had for the cell tower was maybe putting it at Swingbridge Park, which is the park that was named after my dad. And if they did, I don't know how that would look there with the new bridge coming over, seeing the flag. I have no idea. Do we know where any of these flagpole cell towers are? And we could look at one?
You could look at one right at on Route 70 going from Wall Township into Brick, Peterson's Restaurant.
Right.
There's
right
one
by the
right
border there.
There.
Is it massive? Like,
it's about 100 foot. It's 100 foot, 110 foot tower. It's got the gold ball on top and flies a flag.
Would it fit, like, say, on Swingbridge Park?
Well, that's
say if we put it there, like,
fit how? Physically?
Well, look,
it's appropriate. The building, though, that goes with it that's up to council.
You need an equipment shed for each cell phone provider. If you have three or four providers, you need a 10 to 15 square foot, 10 by 15, 10 by 20 square foot footprint for them to each have an equipment shed with all their gear and electronics in.
Well, I'm just thinking on the riverside, it might be something that wouldn't be bad to look at, and coming through town, you wouldn't see it. You know, you wouldn't have to look and see it, or, you know.
Just answer your one question, Charlie. I know on the River Street, when they looked at that years ago, the consultant spoke with the carriers, and they weren't interested in that spot for a few reasons. They weren't. I think, Jack,
there's too much underground.
Okay, with the water.
There's too much pipes. JCP&L, there's
too much action.
They just can't dig it deep enough.
Okay, and the other thought that I had was on the temporary firehouse. You know, when we say temporary firehouse, we're talking about something that I guess FEMA is going to pay for as long as it's temporary. Okay, so let's just say this temporary firehouse costs $200,000. I just have a hard time like taking $200,000 and making it temporary and then knocking it down. I mean, if we put it in a location where we could reuse it, say it was the temporary firehouse initially, and then we took the fire engines out of there, could we use it for something else? And would that be okay with FEMA? Because I mean, we could put it, say, in a different location where we could reuse it. We're going to just knock it down? Is that the plan? Like, I can't...
Well, if we rent it, we haven't determined what's the best, whether you rent these temporary trailers or not. It would just go away.
It's a trailer.
It's a tent pole structure, correct?
It's not a hard tent.
Hard tent.
And I know the chief was looking at other options that were more permanent in nature, but that's going to be up to the council.
But there is an ability to purchase it at the end, whatever the depreciated value is. So FEMA says, okay, it's worth $80,000. We could purchase it for that amount of money.
If we put something, just say, close to, say, Chapel Beach Club on that end of the parking lot that sort of looked like Chapel, you know, that it wouldn't be an eyesore when you went past it, or you had something like that we could reuse, some sort of storage, maybe the public works. I don't know, it's just a thought. You know, to put it where we're talking about, even though we're going to save the utilities, what would we save? 50,000? 20? I don't know. How much?
About
50 to 80. 50, so you take a $150,000 building or $200,000, you knock it down, you're still negative. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Nice job. Go ahead.
Only partial answer to other cell towers. There really isn't much of an update from the last cell tower
update,
aside from the fact that Verizon's back online with us. They agreed to, you know, throw a hat back in a ring, and T-Mobile's punted so far. They're not interested at this point. So, but besides that, there is no additional update from last time.
Okay, thanks.
Hello, everybody. I'm the director to Linda Lamia, 2 Village Road. I just want to say, if you want to see what the flagpoles look like, they're actually all over Queens, Brooklyn, and the Bronx. And they're flagpoles. And there's a lot of them. Bob asked me to give you these drawings, and that I that I read the following statement. This is Bob Marone. These drawings are presented for context and juxtapose the cell towers against the borough hall, the seawall and people, and illustrate the actual height differences they're at. They are drawn at a scale of 1/16 to 1 inch. The cell towers are 125 feet and 105 feet high, respectively, each with an 8-inch high lightning rod on top. The silhouette of Borough Hall is drawn at 25 feet and 45 feet high, while the seawall is shown as a dotted line 10 feet high. There are also three people drawn at a height of 6 feet for scale purposes. The drawings are open to help stimulate the imagination and to help us think of the potential that exists in making the cell towers be something more than a transmission receiving device. Perhaps the borough could hold a competition among local artists for an inspirational design for the Seabright banner. It could even be something other than a banner, limited only to the artist's imagination. Proposals would need to address cost, scope, schedule, etc. I realize that the parameters would need to be defined for those loads that would be superimposed on the cell towers. However, an allowance for such loads could be done now before a contract is awarded for the towers. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Linda on my behalf. And this is, these are the drawings that he submitted. This is the color one. This one, color. I don't know what the color one is now. I just wanted to speak to myself, for myself, and to myself. I also wanted to ask if the council would consider, in light of the fact that our council and our mayor are the leaders, they are the role models for our community, if we would consider in the future that there be a resolution, because we've had issues in the past that we don't want to have happen again, that any person who is an elected official or works for the town is current with their taxes, so that they would show themselves as an example that they're current, because loss of tax payment has a significant impact on our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Elizabeth DiGiulio, 1540 Ocean Avenue, Ocean Reef. In a previous meeting, somebody brought up the trash company. M&S about making a mess. We just resurfaced our whole parking area and our entranceway, and they have just totally ruined it. We did it in the spring. They're leaking oil all over. We have to redo a power wash and clean that whole that area over by our dumpsters. So I was wondering if anything, you know, has come out about them.
When's the next contract up for M&S?
It's coming soon.
Is it this year? I mean, do we start a new contract?
No, you'll bid it out at 15. It's through 2015.
Through 2015.
We should be working on the specs by the end of the year.
Yeah. Look,
Mr. Giulio, we sent it over to M&S. We wanted them to respond. If not, we're going to send it to our insurance company. I got a letter, I think, from the management company.
Yes.
Wrote us a letter about what happened. I don't know. We sent it over to M&S. That was just the other day. So
okay, well,
I'm going to give them a little bit of time to respond. And you know, we'll see what they say. Maybe they'll come out.
Yeah, there's no improvement. They did supposedly send someone out, but I don't know. I wasn't involved in that. But it's just a mess what they've done to our resurfaced parking area.
And you're not the only one who's complaining about that company. So I've heard complaints.
Okay, very good.
And we have the same complaint next door to Sunrise.
Yep.
Okay,
it's
you.
Gotten worse, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It's a mess. Thank you.
John Guarino, 8th East Church. With the cell tower, is it possible to add any types of devices, possibly a webcam, like pointing out towards the ocean to kind of highlight the Seabright itself? And when I go to the Caribbean, you know, you look and you punch on the computer and you see, you know, a nice ocean, the sun.
Mm-hmm. Could we check with the consultant last time to see if you can reach out to the providers and see if that's possible?
And then, in addition to that, underneath, say, the view of the Atlantic Ocean, you have these banner ads that the town of Seabright businesses can actually, you know, stream across. And as you see that, you see our businesses and people who come.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Eugene Freed, Ocean Reef. Mayor Long mentioned my story in the Asbury Park Press, but I have to compliment her because she and I went to the Shore Regional Board of Education meeting at the high school, and I spoke briefly, but she spoke brilliantly, really, to the board and really told it like it was, actually called them out on some mistakes they made in their submission. The school administrator acknowledged his mistake, and it was kind of a glaring error, which made things look a lot better than they really are. And I thank her for being there and for her really outstanding presentation. What I'm hoping for is we've talked now for weeks and weeks about, you know, a group getting together on the school tax. From my business career and my life in the business world, I'm used to setting some deadlines. And I would like to see if we can have a committee set up by a fixed firm date, September 30th, if it's not too soon, October 15th. I just feel, you know, we can be talking about this a month from now, 6 weeks from now. The committee should be formed, should meet, and should start going to work, because if we don't do anything a year from now, we'll be standing around here bemoaning the fact that we're in the same boat and this boat is sinking. So I recommend, and I don't know if the mayor is the one that's going to organize this or not, but I'd like to see some date set, firm date set, where a committee is organized, a list of the names of the people who are on this committee, and have a meeting so we can begin to go to work.
Thank
you. Can we do that October 9th and then officially?
Well, in fairness to Councilwoman Bills, who is the council liaison for education, let's not make decisions without her being present. But as he said that, I would like to see that we've got that so that the council can vote on it on October 7th.
October 9th. I'm sorry. Is it October 7th?
Is this even an education issue or a finance issue?
This is truly a finance issue because our argument is not the Shore Regional, the school. Our argument is the regional school funding formula that causes this injustice in our percent share, where we have 3.79% of the student body, yet we pay 20% of the budget. And that's this, you know, this funding formula is the result. We've tried many things in the past, so fresh eyes will hopefully give us a, you know, a fresh strategy.
Mayor, I can talk to Councilwoman Bills about it. I'm sure she's not going to have a problem. Yeah. Do you have a mechanism for getting the names of this committee?
Well, we have a handful list of names. I was advised that some members of Seabrighters Embracing Action were interested to participate, so I need to get a hold of those names and contact information for everybody. And I would like to put it out to the general community as well, because I know there are people who are plenty angry and very talented who do not come regularly to these meetings but would like the opportunity to participate. So we'll need to get a blast email out soliciting participation for that, and then we can move forward on scheduling.
Okay. Great.
Just make a suggestion before we get a committee going. A group, a committee from among us, meet with our assemblyman and our senator and ask them for their concept of what's doable. I've had direct talks with them and the answers come back very negative. So I like if we, that's just one-on-one, but if you and the committee just sat down with them and very specifically say, we're going to put something together here. What is your input? What is your idea? What is your notion? The governor made, I was very surprised, the governor spoke, I thought, very directly to this the other day when he was here and answered that our reporter's question. And that, I'd really like to have an input from our representatives before we get, because I've gone through this three or four times, and people get very, very anxious and working, and then you run into a brick wall. But I think if we started first with these people and see if they're at all positive or even cooperative.
I can tell you that I had a very discouraging conversation with Assemblyman O'Scanlan on Friday with regard to this issue, and yeah, he had the same response that we have heard many times. However, my own personal opinion is just because our representatives from Trenton may tell us there's nothing they can do, I'm not really willing to accept that. And I don't think our residents want to accept that.
Neither am I, but I want them. I want their input. Do they have an idea? Do they have? Should we go to the head of the education committee?
They've given you their idea. They've said no.
That's no, sir. That's not. That's if you're going to give flip remarks, then there's no point having
flip remarks. It's the truth. The governor was just here.
But yes, but didn't you hear what he said?
Come back and state your comment after Marty.
I will.
I'm sorry, but.
Are you done, sir?
No, I'm not. Just
I'll wait.
It's not, again, I've gone through this for over 20 years. I like to talk to these people directly with a purpose set up. We're meeting with you to talk about Shore Regional. Not a casual conversation, not as I've had with Amy and Declan and the senator. But if we sat down, a committee sits down with them, either one-on-one or with the three of them together, and talk directly, no interruptions, no side talk, no laughing, just here's our problem, you're aware of it, now we're going to address this again, and we're asking you for your ideas to help us facilitate this and work through the Assembly and the Senate. That's my idea on that. It's not to exclude anybody, but it's at least to get a ground base to work off from.
And right away, what we can do is if the clerk's office could draft a letter for me to sign that goes to all three representatives requesting a meeting, and we'll start that as the first step.
Thank you.
Mark Pappas, Sunrise, 1566. So with no disrespect to anybody on the council, I think the gentleman's article in the newspaper, and thank you for, by the way, I didn't know you went to Shore Regional. Thank you for doing that.
Ooh, I maybe even went a little too far.
Well, no, that's great. I think then that should be publicized because not a lot of us know about that. So to that point, we're a small community. If we jump, we're already getting bushwhacked by the state. Going to Declan or any of those other people, they're in the political machine. Mm-hmm. We're not going to win. They've already told us how they feel. So do what you want. Go ahead and ask for their input, and 6 months later, they're going to tell you exactly what you know today, and then you'll get voted out of office, and then we'll get a new council in here who'll do something.
Just if I again address this. We have, if you're not familiar with the background on this.
I've been living here for 30 years. Fine. I'm familiar with that.
Well, let me just talk to the other people. Members of this governing body, previous mayors and members of the council, undertook several very specific and directed efforts on this fact. We went had a major lawsuit when we lost. We worked out a major, I don't know if you remember Bill Gelfand and his wife Ina. They worked on this with several other members of the committee, Tony DeAndrea. They put together an excellent package to get Seabright out. And it went all the way up, and I've said this before, I'll repeat it. They got Governor Christy Todd Whitman to sign off on it ahead of time. Steve Cordemus was our assemblyman. He said, I will not stop it. I can't wave a flag for you because I've got to deal with residents of Oceanport, West Long Branch, not Monmouth Beach because they get hurt too. But he said, I will not impede your efforts. So Bill Gelfand and his committee of citizens went down to Trenton. They spoke individually to the members of the Education Committee in Trenton, and they got it passed the Assembly. Our senator representative was Joe Pelea, Republican, and he was all positive. Oh, yeah, I'm with you. And this piece of legislation, and it did not mention Seabright, but the way they do this, they write up a description of a town that can only be the town they have in mind. In this case, it was Seabright. It carried it to the last day of that year's legislative session, the very last day, and everything is pro forma. It just, they have people up in the gallery, everything's ready to go, it's the last day, and everything is numbered. And Seabright's bill to get us out was numbered, I'm just picking a number out, 37. And it was just in the Senate. They already passed the assembly, and the governor had already said, you get it on my desk, and it's done. They were there in the gallery, Bill Gelfand, they had bottles of champagne with them. And they looked down on the Senate floor, and they said to Joe Palaeps, how's it looking, Joe? And he gave them a thumbs up. This is the last day, thumbs up, we're all set. They start off with the roll call, and they go through. Senate Bill 29, Senate Bill 30, Senate Bill 31, every, yes, 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 32, 33, 34, ours is 37, they go 36, 38, 39, 40, 41. Then they tap the gavel, the session's over. They go down onto the Senate floor, and it was Joe, Senator DeFrancesco was the head of the Senate. And they went up, what the hell happened? And all he said to them was, see Joe Palaea. And there's a thing called senatorial courtesy in Trenton. If you're a member of the Senate and there's a piece of legislation that could have an adverse effect on you, specifically your chances of re-election, etc., you have what they call senatorial courtesy. You can go to the head of the Senate and say, I want this bill pulled because it's going to hurt me in re-election time. And that's exactly what Joe Palaea did. On that day, he went up and said, pull this bill. That just shows you how, you can imagine how frustrated Bill Gelfand and these other people were. They put months in on this and came down to one change. And the reason, at the time, Joe Palaea was up for re-election, he's deceased now, and I don't like to talk about people on here to defend themselves, but there was a mayor of Oceanport that was contemplating running for the Senate. And I think Joe Palaea thought he would be going to the citizens of Oceanport and saying, your guy Joe Palaea sold us out because he went along with the Seabright bill, and now you people in Oceanport are going to have to get a steep increase in your taxes. So I think that's what happened. And Reed and Murphy and I went down to see Joe Palaea afterwards, and we said, Joe, what did you pull that? He said, I didn't pull anything. You people stabbed me in the back. We said, what? He said, yeah, you went around behind me. You were doing stuff you weren't even letting me know. And that's why I had to protect myself. And we went to Tony DeAndre, and he said, I won't even tell you what he said. But he said, I'm Italian, Joe Palaea's Italian. I said at the beginning, I'm going to attach myself to Joe Palaea. I'm going to walk him through this. Nothing's going to be a surprise for him. And he did that. He said that was just BS. Just the last minute he changed his mind and pulled it. I'm just saying this to you. I want to work on this effort again. But understand, they put in months of effort going to people in these, on the education committee, getting the pass, working on it. And that's why I'd like to at least start off with a face-to-face, direct question and answer with these three people representatives to say, where are you on this? Here's what we want to do, and map out a strategy. Because I don't want to have you and us go through this damn process again. And I'm telling you, months they spent on this. And then have it blown out at the last minute. So that's my own purpose.
So I appreciate your effort, sir, and I appreciate the history. So my question to you is, if you already know Mark Pappas, 1566, Sunrise, my question to you is, if you already know the answer from the representatives that you've talked to about this, it sounds like what you're saying is, don't bother.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry if that's what it came. I just want to get off on the best start possible.
So Declan, who's our representatives? Declan?
It's Declan, Assemblywoman Amy Hanlon, and Senator Joe Carillas.
And Governor Christie, right?
All three of them are very familiar with.
And they're against it.
They're not against it. They are not encouraging that there is a way forward for us. They, our assembly folks said basically they feel our pain, they understand, they could post a bill, it's not going to go anywhere because it doesn't have appeal outside of this area and it could potentially hurt large suburban areas where votes are found. So they were very candid. Senator, our state senator, pointed to larger problems with education funding and the concentration of funding in some areas over others, which I found a bit of a red herring, to be honest. But as Councilman said, and don't think that everything stopped after that legislation failed, because Mayor Maria Fernandez appointed a school formula advisory committee that I chaired, and we worked for 2 years on this issue. We worked with an actuary to understand all the elements within the formula and which one, where the levers were, where the push points were, so where we could expect to see increases and decreases. We crafted public relations campaigns. We pursued the referendum. We didn't get anywhere. We tried to have our own referendum. The county clerk shut it down. It's not to say that efforts haven't been done, but I now just speak for myself personally. One of the things that I learned from Sandy is, you know, when you want something done and somebody says no, you just come at it from a different direction. Right. And so that's the goal of appointing a new citizen committee. So in deference to the councilman, I think we should request the meeting, and I think those two efforts can work concurrently, frankly.
I don't disagree, Mayor, and I appreciate what you're saying. I guess the frustration is that we're dealing with today, next year. It's gone up $1,000. This gentleman was very articulate in his article. And, you know, this has been going on before I moved here. And it just seems, and I appreciate what you're saying. I mean, I'm a fan of you guys, okay?
No,
I don't want to sound like I'm being negative. But the problem is, it sounds like what we're saying is there's a political machine in front of us we can't beat. But let's go ahead and form a committee and get told no anyway. And I'm not suggesting you're saying that, but that's the history. So why go to the enemy and ask for permission? Why don't we go through other means and use media and other forms of manipulation? If they're going to manipulate us, because the Italians want to work together, and that's what he said. I'm Greek, so I have no disrespect towards Italians. But, you know, then let's form our own little mafia and beat them at the game. It's our money that they're spending.
Thank you. Any other remarks in the audience this evening? We still have an executive session on our agenda, so if there's nobody else wants to be heard this evening, then I would like to ask for the motion to enter in a closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Councilmember Steeler.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lexi.
Yes.
Can we do a macro? Would that be faster if we got to there? Or to make it?
It's not going to be faster from here.
Are you ready? Are you dead?
Oh, I'm bad. But I'll be okay.